Well, church, let me encourage you now to grab your Bible and join me in the book of Malachi. Malachi chapter 3 is where we are spending time this morning. If you are new to Shades this morning, or if you're joining us online for the first time and you're wondering why in the world Malachi, we are walking through this book in the Old Testament together to see the Lord calling his people back to himself in a season where they have been drifting away. And so maybe that's you today. Maybe you're coming to church for the first time in a long time, or maybe you've been kind of going through the motions and wondering, God, where are you in the midst of my story right now? Well, I have good news for you. Malachi speaks specifically to those situations, and he invites us to be reminded of what we were just singing. The goodness of our God, the worthy nature of who our God is and what he has provided for his people. So Malachi chapter 3 is where we are going to be spending some time here this morning. I will warn you right up front, we are talking about money. Are you excited? Everybody cheer for money, yeah? Oh, that's what I thought. That's what I'm talking about. Oh my gosh. And some of you are going, man, it's my first time and the preacher's talking about money. It's all the church cares about. Hey, that's not all the church cares about. In fact, this is the first time I have preached on this specific topic in my time here at Shades Mountain over the last couple years or so. And so I'm really excited, and I'm going to tell you why I'm excited. But we're going to get to that. First, I want us to turn our attention to the Word of God, because the Word of God is very, very clear on the topic of money, generosity, giving, and specifically what we see in Malachi, the topic of tithing. So I want to invite you, if you're willing and able, to stand with me as we walk through this time. We stand for the reading of God's word. We do this each and every week here at Shades to be reminded the Word of God is our foundation in every topic. Whether it's resources, whether it's relationships, whether it's talking about salvation and what God's read, everything we do as a people of God stands on the Word of God. And so we want to be reminded that this is our foundation, and this is what God says is right and good and true, and this is what we need to hear. Malachi chapter 3, I'll begin in verse 6, and I want to read through verse 10 to get us started here this morning. The prophet speaking on behalf of God says this of the Lord, "For I, the Lord, do not change. I, the Lord, do not change. Therefore, you, O children of Jacob, are not consumed. From the days of your fathers, you have turned aside from my statutes and have not kept them. God says, return to me, and I will return to you, says the Lord of hosts. But the people say, how shall we return?" And God's response is, "Will a man rob God? Yet you are robbing me. But you say, how have we robbed you?" And God says, "In your tithes and contributions. So as a result, you are cursed with a curse, for you are robbing me, the whole nation of you." Verse 10, God says, "Bring the full tithe into the storehouse, that there may be food in my house, and thereby put me to the test, says the Lord of hosts. See if I will not open the windows of heaven for you and pour down for you a blessing until there is no more need." This is the word of the Lord. And certainly in a topic like giving, a topic like generosity, tithing, we need to hear the word of the Lord. So I just want to invite us to pray together and ask God to speak during this time, and then we will be seated and get into this message. Would you pray with me? Heavenly Father, we do stand before you being reminded that your word is the foundation of your church. In tough topics, in challenging topics, in topics of rebuke like what we see in Malachi, in beautiful reminders of your love and your grace, your word is the foundation for your people. And so we pray that through the proclamation of your word and the power of your Holy Spirit at work among us today, that you would show us clearly what you know we need to see. And then, Lord, give us the faith to do what you're calling us to do with that which you reveal. We thank you for this time. We thank you for the grace and kindness that you lay before us, even as you challenge us in your word. And I pray, Lord God, we would see with greater clarity who you are and what you have done for us through Jesus Christ, our Lord. It's in his name we pray. Amen. Amen. You may be seated. Thank you for standing with me. And I realize right out of the gate, I just think it's important to acknowledge a conversation around money in church, a conversation around giving and tithing in church, it can be an uncomfortable topic. I certainly understand that. This is one of those topics that I'm telling you, I'm excited to preach and I'm gonna share with you why, but you may be going, hey, I'm not excited to listen. It's one of those topics where if we're honest, many times when the topic of money or giving or generosity or tithing comes up, we almost kind of immediately, instinctively just get defensive. In fact, you may find yourself feeling that right now. Maybe you're going, who are you to tell me what to do with my resources? I mean, that's sometimes how we feel. We're going, hey, I've worked hard for all this and I know what to do with my resources. Who are you to tell me what I should be doing? And sometimes that's even the posture that we take with God. Who are you to tell me what to do with my money, with my resources? But here's the deal. The word of God is very, very clear. God has strong words to say about giving. God has strong opinions about money. God has strong words for his people specifically as it relates to faithfulness and obedience in this very important topic. And so here's what I want to do. Before we walk through Malachi, I just want to turn your attention real quickly to two very important principles or foundational points that I would lay before you as it relates to why God calls his people to giving, specifically giving through a tithe, 10% of our income brought back to the Lord. That's what a tithe is. A tithe means 10%. Why does God care about this? Why does God speak to this? Why does God call people to give? Well, first and foremost, we need to start right here. This is important to God because God is good. This is our foundation. We would say this is our foundation in any difficult conversation or any tough topic or anything that is important for us to pay attention to. It is being brought to us through the word. Why? Because God is good. And as our good God, one of the ways we see his goodness is his extravagant generosity. Our good God is extravagantly generous. James chapter 1 says it this way. I love what we see here in James 1, beginning in verse 16. Do not be deceived, my beloved brothers. Every good and perfect gift is from above. Every good and perfect gift is from above, coming down from the Father of lights, with whom there is no variation or shadow due to change. Of his own will, he brought us forth by the word of truth, that we should be a kind of first fruits of his creatures. The word of God says one of the ways that we see the goodness of God is through his generosity. He gives good gifts. Every good and perfect gift comes from above. What is that saying? It's saying it belongs to God to begin with. He is entrusting it to our care. That is because he is good. That is because he is generous. And God, in his generosity towards us, shows us his goodness by extravagantly lavishing out good gifts on his people. God wants us to not only receive these good gifts, he wants us to participate in the generosity that lines our heart up with the heart of God. You know, the Bible in the book of Acts chapter 20 tells us that God loves a cheerful giver. How is it possible to be a cheerful giver? It's possible to be a cheerful giver when we understand that God is good, that he has blessed us abundantly, that every good and perfect gift comes from above. And when we give, our heart is becoming like the heart of God. Our heart is lining up with his heart, and we give as an act of worship and gratitude for who he is and what he has done for us. There is joy in giving as our heart lines up with the heart of God. And secondly, in addition to the foundational principle that is our starting ground, that God is good, we must be reminded that our good God, who is exceedingly and extravagantly generous, also knows our heart. God knows your heart. God knows my heart. And in knowing our hearts, our good God knows how easily our hearts can be prone to wander. Our good God knows how easily our heart can be gripped by the things of this world. Our good God knows our hearts and knows how quickly this thing called materialism can capture our heart, where we just want to hold on to everything that we possibly can, get more and more and more, and keep it all for ourselves. God knows that this is one of the biggest issues we face in our culture. God knows that our hearts can so quickly become consumed by the things of this world, and God wants us to be set free to live in the freedom that he alone can provide. And so God calls us to be a people who are generous, a people who are giving, a people who tithe back to the Lord. Why? So it loosens the grip on the things that can so quickly capture our heart. Jesus himself speaks to this very clearly in the Sermon on the Mount. I want to turn your attention to Matthew chapter 6. Jesus shows us this really is a heart issue. When we start to talk about giving, when we start to talk about tithing and generosity, we are talking not about a money issue. Yes, money's involved, but we are talking about a heart issue. Jesus says this, Matthew 6, 21, "For where your treasure is, there your heart will be also." And then he gives this example, and it seems a little strange. What is Jesus saying here? He says, the eye is the lamp of the body. So if your eye is healthy, your whole body will be full of light. But if your eye is bad, your whole body will be full of darkness. If then the light in you is darkness, how great is the darkness? And then verse 24, no one can serve two masters, for either he will hate the one and love the other, or he will be devoted to one and despise the other. You cannot serve God and money. These are the words of Jesus. And Jesus is saying, look, you've got to understand, when we start talking about money, when we start talking about generosity, when we start talking specifically about tithing and bringing 10% of our income to the Lord, I mean, that's going to reveal some stuff in our heart. I mean, perhaps the reason we get offended is because it's revealing something in the heart. Perhaps we don't want to hear this because it's revealing something in the heart. Jesus knows that the way we use our money and our resources will always be a reflection of what is going on in our heart. You cannot separate one from the other. Our heart is revealed in the way we handle the resources that have been entrusted to us. So Jesus gives this example as he's talking there in the Sermon on the Mount in Matthew 6 to show how this plays out. And to show that this is such an important heart issue, he's saying, look, the way you handle the resources entrusted to you, they will actually impact the way you see everything around you. They will impact the way you view your life, the way you view the world around you. And if you are consumed by the things of this world, and if you are consumed by money, you're going to start to miss out on other very important things in your life. If you are consumed by money and the things of this world, Jesus is showing us here in Matthew 6, you're actually starting to become consumed with self. And what you can keep, and what you can hold on to. And when you or I become consumed with self, here's the example Jesus uses, it's actually like you're shutting the blinds on a window and turning a room dark, refusing to let the light into the room. That's what happens when we become consumed with the things of this world and consumed with acquiring everything we can for ourselves. We're actually keeping the light out. How great is the darkness, Jesus says, when our lives become selfishly consumed with the things that we possess. And so as a result, this topic of giving is elevated in importance because it is always connected to the heart. You know, there's a statement that the Apostle Paul makes, and this is still just the introduction. We're going to get to Malachi 3 in just a moment, I promise. There's a statement the Apostle Paul makes that's been taken out of context many, many times. That statement is 1 Timothy chapter 6. And I do want to turn your attention here because it's incredibly important that we actually understand the statement and what it is saying. The statement that Paul makes in 1 Timothy 6:10 is the love of money is a root of all kinds of evils. Now, it's often taken out of context and people might say, oh yeah, the Bible says all money is evil, money's bad. No, that's not what the Bible says. In fact, money is not the problem at all. Money in and of itself is not evil, but money makes a terrible God. And when money is elevated to the place of God, where it is reigning supreme in our life, it's all we think about, it's all we care about, it's all we want. We want more and more and more and more for ourselves. Then money begins to lead to all kinds of evil. Jesus would say it this way, how great is the darkness when the light is kept out? Money leads to all kinds of evil. And so Jesus is actually saying to us, you have a choice. You can't serve two masters, but you can serve one. So what will the master be? What will you give your heart over to? Will you serve God or will you serve the things of this world? You cannot serve both. But please hear this, and this is good news. And this is why I get so excited about preaching on this topic and preaching this specific message. For those who make the decision, I desire to serve God. I desire for my heart to be committed and surrendered to God. I desire to serve God. Please hear this. There is a beautiful invitation that shows us how to position our heart to serve God and to be surrendered to Him. And that invitation is obedient, faithful giving according to the Word of God. We are invited to position our heart in such a way that we actually grow more like Christ in generosity. God loves us so much and is so gracious to us that He invites us to this call of obedient and faithful giving through the tithe so that our hearts can be devoted and surrendered to Him. Randy Alcorn, in his great book, The Treasure Principle, about this topic, writes this. He says, giving is the only antidote to materialism. Giving is a joyful surrender to a greater person and a greater agenda. It breaks the chains of the money god that would enslave me. The money god is enslaving many, many people, and God desires that we would be free. So he calls us to give, and this is important, not because he needs our money, and it's not our money to begin with. Tis. He calls us to give because we need him. And he desires for our heart to be brought to him in trust and in faith of who he is and what he has done. Are we being enslaved to the money god, or are we trusting in God at his word and what he has called his people to be about? With that, we step back into Malachi. We come to this passage of scripture that is a very famous passage in the Bible about giving and about tithing specifically. And as the prophet Malachi begins to bring this before the people and turn our attention to our resources and to the money that has been entrusted to our care, he starts in verse 6 with a very important statement. Again, he's speaking on behalf of God. In Malachi 3:6, he says, "For I, the Lord, do not change. I, the Lord, do not change. Therefore, you, O sons of Jacob, are not consumed." Why is that so important? Well, it's so important that we understand that God is the same yesterday, today, and forever, because we've got to understand that what God is saying through the prophet Malachi is still applicable to our lives today. In fact, I've actually had a few conversations with people over the years who go, tithing, that's an Old Testament thing. That's an Old Testament thing. That's a law thing. That's not a gospel of grace thing. No. That was years and years before Jesus showed up on the scene. But here's the deal. The Lord says to his people, and the Lord says to us, "I, the Lord, do not change." The principle that is true for the people of God in Malachi still applies to us today. The foundation for obedient giving, according to the word of God, is a tithe. That's the foundation. That's the starting point for obedient giving. And if anything, the New Testament actually calls the church to a higher standard of giving than a tithe. When you see in the New Testament giving brought up, it's more than a tithe. It's this call to generosity, to lay it all on the line. Jesus raises the stakes on generosity altogether. So it's important that we understand when God says, "I, the Lord, do not change," he's saying, look, this principle is going to be true for my people. But it's also important that we see God say he does not change because of the way the second half of verse 6 lays out. God says, "So therefore, you, O sons of Jacob, are not consumed." At this point in Israel's history, we've talked about this at length in this series, the people of God, they really have begun to drift away from God. They are going through the motions, and this topic of giving is one of the areas where they're going through the motions. They're bringing an offering to the temple. They're bringing gifts to the Lord. But as we talked about several weeks ago, we saw this at the beginning of Malachi, they're bringing leftovers. When it was time to bring sacrifices, they're not bringing pure and spotless lambs or animals to the temple for sacrifice. They were bringing wounded animals, sick animals, the throwaways. Those were their gifts. And when it came to an offering or giving, they're just bringing the leftovers. They're going, okay, we made it to the end of the month. We've got a little bit left over. We'll give God a tip. And yet, what does God say? "Because I do not change, even in your disobedience, you are not consumed." Why? Because when God rebukes his people, he rebukes his people to invite them to return. He rebukes his people to invite them to see his grace. He rebukes his people to invite them to see his mercy and his patience and his compassion and his kindness. So God is saying, look, 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 I have not struck you down. I am not going to strike you down. I'm calling you to return. And if you will return to me, you will see that I am here for you. For I, the Lord, do not change. Malachi 3:7 says it this way: from the days of your fathers, you have turned aside from my statutes and have not kept them. Return to me. This is the whole point. God's saying, look, I'm inviting you. I'm calling you back. I'm pursuing you with my love. I don't want you to be wandering in the darkness. I don't want you to be floundering around in disobedience. I want to call you back to me because I am a good God and I know what is best for you and I love you. Some of you need to hear that today. You've been keeping your distance from God. You've been questioning and doubting God. You've been shaking your finger at God. You've been frustrated with God. And God is saying, look, I'm inviting you to come back. I want you to see my love for you. I want you to see my grace for you. If you will trust me, you will see that I'm here for you, that I have what you need. Return to me and I will return to you. But the people, they are again growing more and more frustrated with God, and they're saying, but how shall we return? It's Malachi 3 verse 7. They're at this place in their history where they're just floundering. They're frustrated. They remember days of prosperity generations ago, and even though God has brought them back out of captivity and out of being a divided kingdom and has brought them back to Jerusalem, to their home, and has led them to rebuild the temple in Jerusalem, they're going, you know, it's not the way it used to be. The temple looks a little bit different. It's not the same as it was. And this is not the prosperity that we have heard about from generations ago. And God, we just feel like that you're still kind of holding out on us. And so the people, again, they just start to drift away. And here's what's so ironic about it is as they stop giving obediently and faithfully as the Lord has commanded them, the stress increases and times get tight. You would think that if people withheld their generosity and their giving and kept more for themselves, that they would have a greater abundance. But in fact, the opposite is true for the people of God. The more they kept for themselves, the more things got stressful. And so God says to his people, in his grace and his mercy, come on back. And I'm calling you back to obedience and faithfulness through giving. That's Malachi 3, 8, and 9. Will a man rob God? Yet you are robbing me, but you say, how have we robbed you? And God says, in tithes and offerings. So you are cursed with a curse, for you are robbing me, the whole nation of you. God says, look, my hand of blessing has been removed from you because you are refusing to trust me at my word. And in refusing to bring back what has been commanded of you, to bring a tithe, 10%, you're actually robbing from me what is rightly mine. And then you think I'm just gonna continue to blindly just pour out blessing on you as you rob me? No, you've gotta see that as you rob me, you are actually walking away from my blessing. You're actually walking away from my best. That's a decision that you have made as you rob God. Let me just ask, is this true of any of us today? Are we robbing God and then blaming God when we don't feel like we're being blessed by God? It's a hard question to answer for some. There's a lot of research about this in the current state of the church, and pretty much anywhere you turn to see statistics about giving in the American church, you will see that the overwhelming majority of people in the American church are not giving 10%. They're not giving the biblical foundation of obedient and faithful generosity. Recently, Christianity Today did a a survey on this, a research project on this, and they found that just over one third of American evangelical Christians actually give less than 2% of their income. A third of American evangelical Christians. This is not just people who say that they have faith or just say, yeah, I'm in the religious category of Christian. No, American evangelicals means I'm following Jesus. And just over a third are giving less than 2% away. That same research found it's about 20% of people in American evangelical Christianity that are giving 10% or more. That just means there's a lot of people in the church today, just like in the time of Malachi, who are robbing God. It's not a lack of resources, it's a lack of trust. It's not a lack of resources, it's a lack of surrender of our heart to the Lord. But again, here is the good news. God invites us to return. In his love and his grace, he invites us to return, and he tells us what will happen if we trust him at his word. That's Malachi chapter 3, verse 10. Bring the whole tithe into the storehouse so that there may be food in my house, and test me now in this. That's a very important statement, says the Lord of hosts. See if I will not open for you the windows of heaven and pour out for you a blessing until it overflows. The word of God is clear. That if we will trust God at his word and return to God and faithfully bring to the Lord what he has entrusted to us to bring 10% back to the Lord, God will move in our midst in a way that will be different from if we keep our resources or keep his resources to ourselves. God is saying, do you want to see me at work? Do you want to see me in your life? Trust me, test me, and watch what I will do. I love this quote from the great Protestant reformer Martin Luther. He said, I have held many things in my hands, and I have lost them all. But whatever I have placed in God's hands, that I still possess. I told you at the beginning of this message, I'm excited to preach this message for many different reasons. I'm excited anytime we get to talk about a pathway to freedom. I'm excited anytime we get to talk about God inviting us into his blessings. And that certainly is true here. But I'm also excited to preach this message because of my personal testimony. And I just want to share that just real briefly, just my personal giving testimony. I'm so thankful that I grew up in a home where at a very young age, my parents taught me the importance of biblical, faithful giving. They taught me the tithe at a very young age. In fact, I remember being in middle school and getting my first job, cutting some grass for some of our neighbors in the neighborhood. And I was so excited. I had cash in my pocket. I had sweat on my brow. I had worked hard and I got the money. The green is mine. It's a good thing. My dad was so excited for me. He said, son, I'm so proud of you for earning a little bit of money. Now let's talk about giving. And he pulled out offering envelopes that had my name and the church's address on them. It's like, wow, he was ready for this, right? And he said, hey, I want you to know that the word of God teaches us to tithe on our income. And if you will trust God in this, you will see throughout your life the faithfulness and the blessings of God in a beautiful way. I want to encourage you to trust God in this. I'm so thankful that was modeled and taught me at a young age. Parents, I would say if you are not teaching your children about biblical generosity and tithing, you're actually doing them a disservice. This is far easier to learn at a young age. I would encourage you to do so. When Megan and I then got married, I was 21 years old, she was 20, we were finishing up school, we were dirt poor. Good night, we were dirt poor, but we made the commitment as a young married couple that we were gonna at a minimum tithe 10% and prayerfully and hopefully give more than 10% as our marriage relationship continued. But we made that commitment from day one, we're gonna give 10% off the top to the Lord. And times were tight. We didn't have anything. But what a gift it was to begin our relationship that way. So then when we went off to seminary and times continued to be tight and we were just struggling to make it to an end of the month, and we were living in an apartment that, I'm telling you, if you had seen the apartment we lived in seminary, you would have organized a mission trip to come and serve us. You would have. You'd be like, that's a family in need. Yes. And we didn't have anything, but we continued to give 10% off the top, even as things were tight. And we would see God do amazing, abundant things out of nowhere. We'd be hit with a bill that we weren't expected. And then out of nowhere, we'd have a check in the mail from someone that we didn't even know. Just watching God do incredible things as we were trusting him. And then as we began our family and started having kids, we had a lot of them and they came really, really fast. And things continued to be really, really tight for a young family in ministry. And we get to be involved in a new church work in the Atlanta area, and things are tight. And we're just trying to make it to the end of the month. But we committed. We're giving to the Lord at least 10% of our income. We continued to do so. And even as things were tight, we continued to watch God provide. I could tell you story after story after story of seasons in our life when things have felt so tight. And yet we continued to give obediently, faithfully, and we continued to watch God provide abundantly. And now we find ourselves in a season of life where the oldest of our four kids are in college. And by God's grace, several other kids will go to college. And it feels tight. And we could, after 22 years of marriage, go, you know what? We've given a lot over the years and we've been faithful, but man, things are really tight now. And gosh, that tuition is crazy. And we could just, you know, move some giving towards tuition. You know, that's for the kids, right? We could stop giving and just pay tuition. But after 22 years of seeing God's faithfulness, there is no way that we would stop giving now. Because our story is a story of not knowing how it was gonna happen and watching God provide. So why would we stop doing that now just because things are tight? Things have been tight before. God continues to come through on his promise as he's invited us to put him to the test, trust him at his word, and see what he will do. Malachi 3, 11 through 12 says, then I will rebuke the devourer for you so that it will not destroy the fruits of the ground, nor will your vine in the field cast its grapes, says the Lord of hosts. All the nations will call you blessed, for you shall be a delightful land, says the Lord of hosts. God is saying to his people, if you want to see me at work in your life, trust me with the finances entrusted to you. Give and you will see God at work. I don't know how it's gonna happen. I'm not saying God's a genie in a bottle. That's the last thing in the world the word of God says. But God says if you will trust him by bringing your tithe to him, he will bless you in a way that is beyond what you could have imagined on your own. God says put him to the test. Put your heart on the line and trust God at his word. So here's what we want to do, just to wrap up. This is going to be a little different than our normal close, but we just want to give you the opportunity to put God to the test. I just believe we should take God at his word. I'm a Bible guy. I believe that we should pay attention to what the word of God says. This is one of the only places in all of the scripture that you will see God say, put me to the test. And so let's do that. I want to invite you to grab the little card that's in the back of your pew. If everybody would grab one of these, they're sitting right in front of you in the pew back. This is our connection card. And normally we talk about the connection card when we're talking about somebody that's new to Shades, just getting a little bit of information. But today, you're going to see on the connection card, there's a different line there. It says in the middle of the connection card, I am taking the 3-month tithing challenge. What is this all about? This is about putting God to the test. This is about saying to the Lord, okay, we want to trust you at your word. And so I want to encourage each and every one of you who currently are not tithing to take a 3-month tithing challenge. Now, we don't know what you make. Only God and the government knows what you make. All right? But I would encourage you for 3 months to give 10% to the Lord. And hey, you don't even have to do it here at Shades Mountain. If you're going, you just want our money. No, go give it somewhere else. Give it to a church down the road. This is not about us needing your money or wanting your money. This is about God wanting to show you who he is and God wanting your heart in line with his. So I want to encourage you, put him to the test. Take a 3-month tithing challenge. Give 10% of your income through the month of June. And then if you come to the end of 3 months and you go, you know, that was a complete waste of my time. I never should have given that money to the Lord. That was a bad investment. I don't think that was the right thing to do. If you come to the end of 3 months and say, I shouldn't have done that, we will give you your money back. Money back guarantee. You're not gonna hear that many times in church, okay? Money back guarantee. Why? Because this is not about the church having more money. This is about our hearts being in line with the heart of God. And this is about trusting God at his word. Will you trust God at his word? Will we respond in faith to what God is calling us to do as his people? Will we bring the whole tithe into the storehouse and see what God might want to do in our life through a step of faith and an act of obedience? I want to encourage you to take the tithing challenge and let's see what God might do. Let me pray for us as we consider this and close our time together. Heavenly Father, thank you for your love. Thank you for your grace. Thank you for inviting us into your blessing. Thank you for inviting us into the joy of giving. Thank you for loving us enough that you help us see a pathway that would release the hold of materialism or the idol of money in our life. So Lord, I just pray that this would be a heart check for us all and that you would ask us and invite us through your Spirit to consider, are we being obedient in this call to give faithfully, this call to tithe, this call to generosity? And Lord, for those who are wrestling with this, Lord, and on paper it doesn't make sense, Lord, I just pray that you would give them the faith to trust you at your word and see what might happen. Thank you for being a generous God, a good God who loves his people and calls us to live by faith, knowing that by faith is the greatest place we can find ourselves in your hands. So Lord, we commit this time to you, we commit these commitments to you, and we pray that you would move in power in our midst for your glory and for our good. It's in Jesus' name I pray this prayer. Amen.